Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear precious Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for hanging out. Listen, I'm very, very excited to have this guest on. I'm so glad she didn't bail at the last minute. Like it happens in live radio sometimes. People, there are no calls, no shows. They forget, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think we've ever had a guest on that has grabbed my interest as much as this guest has. Her name is Miss Kay Rubisek. Am I pronouncing that right, Miss Kay? It's
very close. It's actually Rubicek, but you're close.
Rubicek. Okay, I had it right earlier today. I said, no, I was spelling it right. Kay Rubicek. Listen, paper, I'm so excited. I'm going to give just a brief introduction here, and I want her to tell about her family and everything she's been through. I told Miss Kay, I'll just call her Miss Kay, we need to have her on again. She says she thinks it would work because we'll cover the details and nuts and bolts of her, what she does for a living and for her mission of trying to bring attention to the victims of communism, not just the dictators of communism and the government of communism, but just what has actually been the pain, the misery that's been inflicted upon millions and millions of people, millions of people murdered by communists. But Miss Kay, I'll just say this right here. If you want to know about communism, no one knows more about it than Miss Kay, unless it will be Alexander Solzhenitsyn, maybe. But her, Miss Kay, if you will, rather than me doing it, tell these dear people about your maternal and your paternal grandparents. And then after you get that update real well, talk about your husband's parents, how they had to escape, this the hell they went through. But before I do that, Miss Kay Rubicek, she is an award-winning, and I'll say she's won awards nationally for being a multimedia producer, a storyteller, a presenter. And after being detained in a Chinese prison for advocating human rights, she has dedicated her professional life to helping people find hope and survive tyranny today. And people, I'm going to tell you what, you're talking about guts. They say I'm wild and crazy and got guts. This lady right here, guess where she was detained from? Miss Kay, before we go any further about your family tree, tell our listeners where you got arrested. You're talking about guts. Tell them where you got detained and why you were detained by the Red Chinese.
Thanks, Eddie. It's such a pleasure to be talking with you. You know, some people say it's guts. I think at the time I really didn't know. I was naive about communism. I ended up in a Chinese basement prison cell and as a young woman. And when you're surrounded by Chinese police, it's a really scary thing. And they lock you in a basement cell. And I just held a banner on Tiananmen Square. I broke no law at all. Yet I was arrested, and the way I was treated was horrific. But you can only imagine what would happen if I was Chinese. So it really opened my eyes to, people say it's brave and I've got guts, and I learned a lot. But I really didn't know how evil communism was until I was looking it right in the face that time.
And I would like to reiterate, this people... You're talking about guts. I'm gonna say this again. She was detained. She was arrested for holding a banner in Tiananmen Square, of all places on earth, in Tiananmen Square, where they run over people with tanks. We have this lady, this beautiful, fragile lady. She's not a man, an Army Ranger or anything. She's a lady. She's holding a friggin' banner in probably the roughest place on earth. Maybe North Korea would be as bad, but I just can't imagine having that kind of courage. Make me feel like a sissy, but that it's great. How long did they have you in that jail cell, Miss Kay?
Well, I was arrested for 23 hours. I wasn't the whole time in the prison cell, but, you know, the other times if they held me longer than 23 hours because I was an Australian citizen, they would have had to involve the embassy because my family knew where I was. So they would have been asking questions if they didn't hear from me. So they kept me for 23 hours. And the things they did during that time, it really showed me how communists, the way they think, how they, what makes them do things. It also showed me the propaganda, how they make propaganda. I'll tell you a short story here. What happened? So, you know, after being in a prison cell and being treated terribly, they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom without having four Chinese police officers standing there with the door open. I said, look, this is ridiculous. They'd already searched me. I had nothing on me, and they wouldn't let me use the bathroom. And then they wouldn't let me have any food. So, but what they did, and this shows how propaganda works under communist systems, is, you know, after 23 hours, you're pretty hungry. And I smelled food coming in, and they rolled out these, you know, really nice-smelling kind of restaurant food and bottles of water. I was thirsty, too. But they had really big cameras, you know, professional cameras, like TV cameras, filming the whole time. And I said, I won't eat while you have cameras on me, because I know they're going to use that footage and say, look what happened to these white people who, you know, they say broke the law. I broke no law. But they would have put that on the news and said, look what these foreigners did. But so I refused to eat while they had the cameras on. And what did they do? They took all the food and water away. I got nothing, because they only were going to give the food if they could use it for propaganda. They don't care about people. So that was a really that really says something about how they treat people.
You know, Ms. K, tell them those really hateful, subversive three words that you had on your banner. No wonder they jumped on you. You were protesting for.
Yes, that's right. So three words in Chinese and in English: truth, compassion, tolerance. I mean, this is universally accepted. You would think human beings think, we all think these are good things, but they told me in China that those three words are illegal, and that's why I was arrested. I was literally arrested for holding the word compassion, because that's what I was the last person. There was a few people holding a big banner, and I was the last person holding that banner. And I saw all these Chinese police in front of me, surrounding me. And I looked over and I'm like, I am holding the word compassion in Chinese. And that's what you're arresting me for. It was insane. Don't you think?
Well, you know,
so
what? Go ahead, Ms. Kang.
In China, those three words are illegal because they're very traditional, and they really, you think about it, they're really going, it just shows that communism is exactly opposite to those three words, because the Communist Party does not want truth. And this is what I've written books about and made movies about. Interviewing officials from the Chinese Communist Party to get their take on it, because I just thought it was so crazy that they would tell me that these three words are illegal. I chose those three words because they are the principles of a spiritual practice called Falun Dafa, which I started, you know, more than 20 years ago. And it was great for my health. It's like yoga, it's like running in the park, but you meditate. It's very, very healthy, and I love it. And it makes me want to, you know, to put these principles into practice, to be more honest, more kind. I mean, isn't that what we do? Even, you know, I was born and raised a Christian, and that's what I always believed in. Yet in China, it's not that the Chinese people don't think these words are good, these principles are good. It's the communist system, and that's what's been forced upon people. And so after I saw this in China, like directly with the Chinese police, and had this experience myself, then I started looking back into my family tree and realizing I have so many connections to communism. And just when you put the dots together and you look at what's happened throughout history, and what communism really does, then you start to recognize things around us today here in America, which is part of the reason why I'm here and not in Australia anymore. I want to get this message out, and I want people to really understand what communism is, because it's not some far away historical thing. It's something that we're dealing with now, and it changes over time. So that's sort of, you know, where I'm at and how my experience in China kind of shaped everything that I'm doing now.
Ms. Kay, we got to go to a quick break, but I know our listening family, our listening audience, they can know now. Wow, I'm so very excited to have you on. When we come back, if you will, tell about your grandparents, your maternal and your paternal grandparents, and the hell they had to go through. Be right back, folks.
Attention, marksmen and adventure seekers. Join us at the Garth Kilpack Range in Springville, Utah for the Ultimate Rifle Roundup. Enjoy 4 hours of elite rifle training with Tactical Cowboy, a $400 value, and lunch on the range. Training runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your carbine or semi-automatic rifle, 300 rounds of ammunition, safety glasses, and ear protection. General admission tickets are $250 and includes 10 entries in the Crofter Market Sweepstakes. Visit SaveTheRanchers.com for details.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I am so excited, and we're so fortunate to have Miss Kay on. What a family history. What a great lady. I've never seen anybody from Australia that I didn't like. But, you know, when I was on R&R, I met some soldiers there, too, from the Canadian Army, a few here and there. But Miss Kay is going to tell you people about her maternal and her paternal grandparents, where they were born. By the way, Miss Kay is, I would say, full-blooded Russian then, pretty much, you know. So anyway, Miss Kay, go ahead and tell them your family tree. I would be, if I had your grandparents you had, I would be very, very proud. But tell them about your grandparents, and if there's time, tell them about your husband's parents and grandparents in their struggle, how they had to flee from their life, from the communists, and the brutality of the communists. Anything, any way you want to go, any which direction you want to go, because you are the valued guest, Miss Kay. Go ahead, Miss Kay.
Thank you, Eddie. You know, I really grew up loving my grandparents, like, so much, but I never really knew their whole story until they'd passed. And that really, I felt ashamed that I didn't ask the right questions at the right time and that I had to learn these things too late. And what I learned so much from them growing up as a kid, but they escaped real brutality and tyranny. And I'll tell you how that happened. But, you know, what they came to, the reason why they didn't talk about it was that they found freedom. And once they found freedom, they felt you know, they didn't want to remind us of everything that went on. So I really respect that they didn't want to talk about the horrors that they saw. But when I realized what they went through, oh my golly, it was, you know, they were both sides of my family. They were all born in Russia. And at the time, Russia was a very religious country. It wasn't before communists took over. It was actually quite a, it wasn't the backwards country that we think. We're taught in school through communist education that pre-communism, everything was bad. But actually it was, once I saw the history, it was amazing. But when the communists took over, the Bolsheviks took over Russia and they started killing people under, you know, Stalin and Lenin, my great-grandparents on both sides had to escape. They didn't know each other. They were in the western side of Russia in different cities. And one set of grandparents escaped by train. They were fortunate. The other set had to escape by foot. And they traveled with, we call them the white Russians. They were the ones who were not communists. And the red ones were called, the communists were called the red Russians. That's how we called them. And the red Russians were chasing the white Russians out because anyone who had faith, and my family were religious, anyone who had land, my family had farms, they were under attack. And not just landed or, you know, attacked, they were killed. And so when my family were escaping, it took my paternal grandparents, great-grandparents, it took them 5 years by foot traveling from the western side of Russia down through Mongolia over to China. And they were traveling with the white Russian army for some time. And during that time, they had to sometimes, if they were lucky enough to get meat, they would have to eat it raw and hide in the mountains, because if they burned a fire to cook the meat, the red Russians would come and slaughter them. When they were escaping through the forest, there were Stalin had told people to hang the bodies from the trees, and so that anyone trying to escape, they would be so scared. That's a strategy of communists, is to really use, they devalue human life so much that they want to make you so afraid that you will do anything. And I learned from my ancestors there, their escape from Russia was that your faith and your family is worth more than the fear they're going to try and put in you. Never sell out for your fear. That's what I got from my very gutsy grandparents. And then they where did they go? They ended up in Russia, in China, both sets of grandparents. Before communism went to China, my father was born and raised in China for 14 years. My mom's family came out a bit earlier. And then when the Great Famine hit China, it wasn't great. 45 million people killed. It's great only in number. 45 million people were killed because of communist policy in China. We don't talk about that enough. 45 million. And my dad was able to escape during that time with his family, and they went to Australia. So escaped from out of the flames and into the frying pan. That's what we say, from Russia and then into China, and communism followed them. So once they came to Australia, they were so, so grateful to be out of that system. They never expected it to grow further. And can I tell you about my husband's family, or are we short on time?
No, you've got plenty of time. Please do. Let me ask you a question. Now, your parents, your your grandparents, they did not know each other, if I got the story straight. As they were immigrants, one of them went by train, the others had to go by foot. So they met up and got married later while they were in China. Is that right?
No, they actually got married in Australia. Yeah, my dad was 14 when he left China. He was young. He grew up speaking Russian and in China and speaking Chinese. But once he left China, he learned English very quickly and just spoke Russian at home. And then later he met my mom. And a lot of Russians had to flee. So many had to flee if they wanted to keep their faith, and they didn't want to. Basically, it's really hard to survive under communism, and we see it again and again in all these countries. And my family's one, just one example. But if they had stayed, they would have either had to make, they would have been killed and used as an example, like to say, look what happens to these business owners or land owners or religious people. Or they would have had to sell their soul and say, I'm no longer going to be like that. And they have to look so hard down on themselves and basically slaughter their soul to be able to survive. And my family, I mean, at the time, no one had ever seen that before. No one knew what communism was or where it was coming from. They couldn't imagine it. They just knew they couldn't stop believing in God. They didn't want to do that. They just thought that was just insanity. So they said, okay, well, if we stay, they're going to kill us. So then we have to go. So, you know, if the things were maybe a bit simpler back then, now we start to complicate things and people are believing a little bit less, maybe a lot less in God than they used to. And then we start to mix things up. But back then it was pretty simple. It was like people were saying, well, you give up your faith, or which means you die spiritually. For my family, that's how they saw it. So, but then my husband's family, it wasn't a spiritual battle. They were atheists. They were born and raised, his parents were born and raised as atheists in Czechoslovakia, the former Czechoslovakia. But they didn't want to follow, my husband's dad didn't want to follow the Communist Party, but his dad was high up in the party. And in the party, you swear your life to it. So your kids have to follow it. If not, you have to disown your kids. So his family was really getting into trouble, and they were going to be sent to prison. So they decided to risk escaping. They didn't know if they would get sent back. And if they did, they would have all been sent to prison and maybe killed. But that was in the 80s, before the Berlin Wall fell. My husband was 7 years old at the time. And they spent 4 months in a refugee camp in the former Yugoslavia. And they didn't know if they'd be sent back. But they were able to escape and they were accepted to come to Australia. But my mother-in-law, she told me, she said, you know, if we had any idea that the Berlin Wall was going to fall just a few years, just 5 years after they left, she said, we would never have left. They had everything there. They had family. They had jobs. They had, you know, they had an apartment. They had everything. But they left because they wanted freedom and because they saw no hope. No one ever imagined that the Berlin Wall would fall. And so I tell people that story to remind them, like, no matter how, you may think things are completely impossible and will never, ever change, that tyranny and dictatorship will never, never change. But there is proof that it does and it will, because it is so fragile. It only takes one thing to just make it flip, and it can just collapse overnight. So that gives me a lot of hope when looking back at my family history, when thinking about how to deal with the problems that, you know, we see today.
That is one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard on Blood River Radio. We've had a lot of interesting people, but nothing like in this class. You know, before I forget, Miss Kay, I know you've written, I'd just like to let the people know again, you're an award-winning multimedia producer, a storyteller, a presenter. I think you're a writer. I don't know if you publish books or not, but I think you do. You've have a new book, Honest Stories to Stand for Freedom. What's that book? I was looking for. I had it. You've got, it's your latest book. And before I ask you your latest book, tell people how they can go to get information about you or your website, any information you would like, how they can get your books, how they can buy your material, how they can get your movies.
The best place is my website, and that is just my name. So it's KayRubacek.com. That's KayRubacek.com. And I'm actually, my latest book is free on my website. You can buy it, but go there and you can download it for free, because I want everyone to have it.
Well, great. We've got to go to our bottom of the hour break. This is kind of a 5 minute a long break, Miss Kay. If anybody has to go use restroom, get a coffee, et cetera, et cetera, this is the time to do it. This is our long break. Be right back in about 4 or 5 minutes, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Federal prosecutors in Switzerland say they found Glencore's international unit to be criminally liable.
The prosecutors have ordered the commodities giant to pay over $150 million in fines and compensation after ending a probe of bribery involving Congo's mining industry. The Swiss Attorney General's office says Glencore International failed to take adequate steps to prevent bribery of a Congolese public official by a business partner. The bribery allegations centered on Glencore's purchase of minority stakes in two companies from the African country's state mining company.
That is correspondent Jeremy House. Chinese government filing a complaint with the World Trade Organization over EU tariffs on electric vehicles made in China. Commerce Ministry says China had resorted to the WTO dispute settlement mechanism to safeguard the development rights and interest. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A troubled U.S. aerospace giant now has a new CEO. Here's Rich Thomason.
One of Robert Ortberg's first orders of business was a visit to a Boeing plant near Seattle. He takes the helm of a company that's been losing billions of dollars, is struggling to fix its aircraft manufacturing process, and has agreed to plead guilty in a fraud case. Amid those multiple challenges, Ortberg says he's excited to take on this new assignment. He retired several years ago, but now at 64, he's coming back with plans to engineer a turnaround at Boeing. Rich Thomason reporting.
Harvard University has decided against removing from campus buildings the name of a family whose company makes the powerful painkiller OxyContin. That comes despite protests from parents of children who fatally overdosed. The decision to retain Arthur Sackler's name in the building comes as several schools have removed the name. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Attention, marksmen and adventure seekers. Join us at the Garth Kilpack Range in Springville, Utah for the ultimate rifle roundup. Enjoy 4 hours of elite rifle training with Tactical Cowboy, a $400 value, and lunch on the range. Training runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your carbine or semi-automatic rifle, 300 rounds of ammunition, safety glasses, and ear protection. General admission tickets are $250 and includes 10 entries in the Crofter Market Sweepstakes. Visit SaveTheRanchers.com for details.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio audience, if I'm so excited, if I can stay in my office chair right here, we'll continue the show, but I am very excited. Everybody listen to this program, you know how we hate communism. But we're going to go right back. I'm just going to call her my spirit sister or granddaughter or whatever. But Miss Kay, she is incredible. She's really got me going tonight. So Miss Kay, we talked about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, how he was a hero of yours, a hero of mine. He should be a hero to every free-thinking Christian. We can talk about some of the hardships your family went through before they were able to escape communism. You can talk about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Anything you would like to do, because there's nothing you've said yet during the show or during the breaks that hadn't been supremely interesting. So go ahead, Miss Kay.
Thanks, Eddie. It's so nice talking with you all. And you know, I Alexander Solzhenitsyn is such a hero of mine. And I wish I wrote about this in my book. I asked the question, did my grandparents read his work? And I bet they did. But they didn't tell... They didn't talk about it to us as kids. They didn't want us to have to experience what they went through. The way the Christians, my family were Orthodox Christians in Russia, still are in Australia, and the way that Christians and other people of faith, the way churches were treated, it's communism wants to replace God. Basically, that's what they're trying to do. And when you understand that, then it starts to make sense, because so many of the things they do are crazy. How can they hang human bodies from trees to make people afraid? How can they put a quarter of a population into a slave labor prison camp? How can they treat people like worse than animals, and millions of people? How can they do that? Because they think they're better than God. And it's not that they're atheists. They think that God exists, but they want to play God, and they think they're that powerful. Even Karl Marx, he's known for being angry at God. He's written a lot of he wrote a lot of poetry that's been published when he was alive. He wrote poetry, and he was angry with God. And you see how that. We've had 100 years of communism now. So we can look at the past and say, okay, like I read Alexander Solzhenitsyn and I just think, wow, everything he's saying, he said back in the 80s and prior to that is still true and relevant now. But some people say to me, but hang on, communism, it's so different now. Look at Russia. They've got, you know, Putin's wearing a cross and churches are open. Everything's fine. Communism changes the society. It does anything. It's Karl Marx used the term a specter, right? What's a specter? It's like it's like a ghost, a demon, something in another, you know, a being in another space that we can't see with our eyes, like radio waves, like microwaves. It exists. You can't see it, but it's there. And it took over all these countries, and it starts to control people, and it shifts. So when new technology comes out, it uses the new technology. And so communism is still there. It's very strong in China. It's still in Russia. It's just shaped in different ways. And religion is, you know, it looks like it's available in those countries, but it's heavily, heavily controlled. And it's controlled by politics, because communism takes control of politics. And then it just takes over religion, takes over faith, because it wants to, you know, essentially it's just trying to control people's souls. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn really nailed it when he wrote his Gulag Archipelago and then every other speech after that. He really understood it. And the people who criticized him, they just didn't know how evil communism was until it was too late. And now it's really at the doorstep around the world. And we have to be able to recognize it and really see that it's those people who are trying to play God. They don't realize that actually it's communism behind their desires there. Because when you've got respect for fellow human beings, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to torture and maim them. That's what communism does. It devalues them, and it just happens every time over and over again. So yeah, Alexander Solzhenitsyn is such a hero of mine. There's so much wisdom to be learned. I quoted him a number of times in my one of my books, which is called Who Are China's Walking Dead. So if you go to my website krubicek.com, you can buy that one. It's also on Amazon. You can buy it from my website or on Amazon. And my newest book, Nowhere Left to Run, 10 Steps to Survive Tyranny Today. You can get that for free. I wanted to give that one for free because it's short. You can also get worksheets and study guides to have used in your classrooms or church groups or any organization to really, how do we survive tyranny? And I've interviewed hundreds of survivors and people who survived torture and insanity today, you know, in recent times. And so I've put their wisdom into this, and you can read it in a very short while. So if you go to my website, you can download it for free.
That is great. You know, I was trying to pull that quote up. We talked about, here we go. I've read this quote. This is one of my favorite quotes since Solzhenitsyn is a hero of yours. And I'm always preaching to our peaceniks here in America. Peace, passivity, don't raise a finger in violence, don't do anything. Here's what a man who knows as much about communism who ever lived, of course he's dead now, let's see, if I get this thing comes up. Here's how he says, and how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive, and had to say goodbye to his family. Or if during periods of mass arrest, as you just mentioned, Ms. K, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and at every step in the staircase. But instead of sitting there trembling, they had understood that they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or what else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If we did not love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation, we purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. And I would like to add this. We have a friend of mine. He's been in the movement for years and years and years. He claims to be he's talked to Alexander Solzhenitsyn in person, but I bet he would never read this passage right here. That doesn't sound too peaceful to me, folks, right there. In the end, to fight communism, I'm going to shut up. Ms. K is telling you what communism is like. If you think you're going to write a letter or give a little protest speech and you're going to change these communist minds, you are in for a very, very rude awakening, my friends. So back to you, Ms. K. I hope I didn't commandeer the show too much there.
Oh, not at all. I love hearing that quote, and you are spot on. And you know, the way to fight communism is it has to be in you. It has to be in you. And it's not, doesn't mean that's with a fist or whatever, but you have to, it has to be in you. You cannot let it control you. That's what it ultimately wants to do. It wants to break your spirit and break your mind, and then you will do whatever it wants. And that's where you have to strengthen, and that's why I wrote this in my latest book, you know, 10 Steps to Survive Tyranny Today, is because to survive tyranny today, you have to have the strength in yourself. And it doesn't matter what weapons you have or anything like that. If you don't have a clear, you know who you are and what you believe in, you're really going to struggle to it's too easy for them to try and manipulate you. And I'll give one example of how brittle, fragile, easy to break tyranny is. They seem so scary and so fearful, and they are, because they've got the guns and they've got the power and they've got all these things, but they cannot control you and your mind and your spirit. And here's a short story about what prompted me to write my last book. It's The Power of a Smile. And there was a prisoner, a former, she was a religious prisoner in China. She was innocent, and I can continue this when we come back.
Oh, I'm glad you heard the music. Be right back. Well, this is one hell of an interview. Be right back, folks.
Attention, marksmen and adventure seekers. Join us at the Garth Kilpack Range in Springville, Utah for the ultimate rifle roundup. Enjoy 4 hours of elite rifle training with Tactical Cowboy, a $400 value, and lunch on the range. Training runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your carbine or semi-automatic rifle, 300 rounds of ammunition, safety glasses, and ear protection. General admission tickets are $250 and includes 10 entries in the Crofter Market sweepstakes. Visit SaveTheRanchers.com for details.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to this amazing lady, this amazing interview. Man, what a dynamite interview. Go back. Go ahead. Continue on, Miss Kay.
Thanks, Eddie.
Yes, ma'am.
The story I was telling is how, you know, we get so afraid by dictators and tyranny. And, yeah, they are scary. They do really bad things. They hurt people. They put me in a basement prison cell. They've killed so many they've killed literally millions and millions of people. They've killed more, you know, communists have killed more people than all the death toll of both world wars combined. So you
yes.
think about that. They've done a lot of evil, and they're still here. So, but what is one of the biggest weapons against tyranny? And I'll give you an example, a smile. Right? How simple is that? Now, I'll tell you why. I was interviewing a woman who survived 4 years of slave labor inside a brutal Chinese prison camp. And she told me how they tried to, on a daily basis, they tortured her to try to get her to change her belief. So like my great-grandparents, they didn't go to a prison. They were able to escape, whereas this woman, she was put into a prison, and they were trying to forcefully change her to stop her having belief in God. And she said she refused, but you know, the pain from the torture every single day was excruciating. And but when she would get out of the prison, out of the torture room, she would see the other women, and the camp guards, the prison camp guards, were so scared that they wouldn't let the women, the prisoners, look at each other. They were so scared that if they looked at each other, whenever they made eye contact, they would see instantly, she's okay, she's alive, she's still here, she didn't break. And that would make everyone feel strong. And if that person, if anyone in the camp gave a smile to another inmate, oh my goodness, it would just light up the whole camp. You can only imagine the oppressive environment in a prison, a Chinese prison today. I'm not talking in the past. I'm not talking about 10, 20 years ago. I'm talking about right now. And the power of a smile. The camp guards were so afraid. They were so afraid that they might make eye contact or that they might smile. They were so afraid of a smile because they knew that everything, all the torture they were doing was wrong. And it was trying to coerce people to give up their faith, which was wrong. And everything they're doing is just based on lies. Whereas these people were saying, no, I want to follow truth, compassion, and tolerance. There's nothing wrong with that. So the power of just even a simple smile or making eye contact with someone just is the biggest weapon against tyranny, because it says, you cannot break me, you have not broken me, and you will never break me. And that's what we need to have. Because it's too easy for them to make us feel afraid and powerless and intimidated. That's how they win. It's not through weapons. It's by making you feel helpless, hopeless. Why are suicide rates going through the roof? Why is drug addiction going through the roof? Because people have forgotten their own power. They're walking, talking miracles. Every human being, you and me, everyone listening out there, you're a walking, talking miracle. Science cannot explain your existence because it cannot prove evolution or, you know, Darwin's theory has been disproven. It doesn't work. Everything is just so miraculous. Life has a purpose. And when you know that, then you find meaning. But through communism, they want to take us away from that meaning, make us feel that we're just meat machines and have no soul or conscience and that we are powerless. But that's where they're wrong. So we have to remind ourselves and no value human life. And that's how they will never, ever break us. No matter how bad things will be, we will get through anything because of the miracle of human life and why we're here. So that's kind of the summary of what's in my book. And you can get that for free on my website at kribicek.com.
Well, I'll tell you the way I feel. The lady that you described, the Chinese lady that was tortured and tortured and tortured, if she could come out and smile, it's my opinion as being a Christian. I'm not a good Christian. I backslide at times. But I don't think anyone could do that without having what I call the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, having the Spirit of God in them. You would have to have the power of God. And that is possible. If you are a Christian, like Miss Kay and myself, and you have the power of God, I do believe you can get through. Well, I know it's possible because Miss Kay just gave one example, and I'm sure there's others. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, for one. I mean, it's so true. There's so many ways I could go. I would like to, you know, I know this may be a rhetorical statement, a rhetorical question, because you've pretty much said it, but communism, all that is an anti-God system. It seems like the picture you've painted, the portrait you've painted. It's, they know there's a God, and I'm glad you said that, because Satan, the devil, and every demon in hell They know all about God, and they know all about Jesus Christ, and they are scared to death of Jesus Christ. They're scared to death of God. So as an aside, I don't know how atheists do not believe in God. And you even said that these communists that hate God, they know all about God, but they want to be God. They want to take over him. And that's what Satan wanted to do, the same thing. So pretty much, Ms. K, when you say Satanism, communism was, it's an extension. Satan got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be. He said, "I will be like the Most High. I will send to the heavens." This may be kind of like a rabbit trail, but would you say communism is just Satanism in action? How am I going with this? Is it a God-hating system? The whole system is just based and grounded. Their ground that they're built on. Communism is built on a ground of hating God. That's what it's all about. Is that right?
Yeah, it's spot on. And they usually, in every society, when you look back at history, they target the smartest people. They target the intellectuals and the artists. And they convince them by saying, "Oh, you're so smart. You don't need God. You're smarter than that. That's only for dumb people." So they target them, and they use their desire for power and fame, and they use them, and they abuse them in every society where communism comes in. They target the intellectuals. Look at our education system here in America. Look at the college system. Most professors are left-leaning, if not communist, or communist-supporting. And they target them, and they make them feel, you know, that they're so elite and smart. And then they make us feel that we're stupid, and they tell those intellectuals that we're stupid. We still believe in God. And those intellectuals, they're the ones that are duped. They're duped. Because, you know, you don't need a college degree to know the truth. You don't need a massive college debt to be a good person. None of that matters. But that's how communism works. They work on trying to use what you desire, which, think about how Satan is talked about in the Bible. He's trying to attract and use whatever you really want. He'll give it to you as long as you go against God. So that's how communism works too. So there's a lot of parallels between, the story of Satan and how all that worked, and a lot of biblical stories. There's a lot of parallels with how communism's played out over history over the last 100 years.
This is amazing. There's so many avenues I'd like to go. So many questions. I was listening to you on. You were doing this. I wish I could pull it up now, but you were interviewing a man in New York City, and I'll be there in November running the marathon, God willing. And there's a section of the Berlin Wall that there's in this little small park-like area of New York City, and y'all were talking about the thin line of freedom, I believe. And you said, mm-hmm. This fellow made a statement, and it struck really home with me. He said, "Why were there no Nuremberg trials for the communist criminals?" And I just that really hit home for me. And I believe this may be kind of a side trail, that Tell Garner Joseph McCarthy, the congressman in Tennessee, excuse me, I think it was from Minnesota or Wisconsin, and he was hot on the trail of the communist. Back in the 50s, and General Eisenhower shot him down, but I almost lost my trail of thought. Do you think, with the brief time we got, well, we're almost out of time, do you think the United States now, how communist are we now, okay? Do we actually have as many communists in our State Department, in our government, in the 30s and 40s. Well, we've gone completely out of time, Ms. K. Ms. K, I'm going to get you while we're here. Could you come on next week to continue this?
Yeah, let's do that, Eddie. Let's continue this. Looking forward to it.
Let's do. We'll book you for next week. We'll come hell or high water. I'll be contacting you. We'll set it up with Jay and little Lizzie. We've only scratched the surface. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on, Miss K. You have one Blood River Radio audience over, I can guarantee you. So I'll contact you. You contact me. We've got to do this again next week. God bless you, Miss K. Thank you again for coming on.
Thanks, Eddie. You too. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank Blood River Radio audience. You heard it first from here. Thank you so much, Miss Lizzie, for running a flawless board. Thank you, Matt, for coming on. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. Now we got to go because Miss Lizzie got to bring on TPC. See you next week, folks.